Hey guys, I'm so happy for you to be here today. Super excited to get to interview. I would love if you could introduce yourself.
So my name is Kristen Horn. I am kind of a new author, but I've been, you know, reading books my whole life. One of the things I like to say is that books were my best friends growing up, because when I was little, I was very, very shy and very lonely. And so I didn't make friends very easily. And so I just read a ton of books. My first set of books was called like the Jewel Kingdom Princesses or something like that. And then pretty quickly I hopped over to like the Jedi Apprentice books. So just been reading my whole life. And now have the last couple of years found myself an author, which I never, ever, ever thought would happen. But we'll get to that later. So yeah.
And my name is Jacob Wise. And I guess that's semi-similar. I've reading, avid reader since I was quite young. And I believe that the first book that I received as a gift was Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. And that was when I was, you know, 10. And since then, I mean, I got into a lot of different sci-fi and fantasy books, which are my main reads. And I think I'm a little bit different from Kristen in that I started to write and want to write books when I was 17, 18, but didn't really have the discipline to actually do what I needed to do.
I love that. I would love if you guys could tell us what your book's about.
So I've been thinking about this, right? Because the last interview I did, he was like, man, you just gave it all away. And right, you gotta, what's the short answer? The short answer is there's two main veins in this book. And one of the ways you could pose one of the veins is like, okay, what happens if the East India Trading Company started contracting monsters to boost business? And so our primary antagonist is fighting that pretty much throughout the first three books. And then the second vein is what happens if like a pagan woman marries the leader of another religion? And so there's both of those are kind of happening simultaneously. And originally we thought it was just going to be one book. And then Jacob is our numbers guy. And he looked at the word count of arc two and was like, this is its own book. I can't even remember what the number was at this point. But now book three is looking like it'll probably be even bigger. So just like, we thought it was going to be one book, but now to three, just, we've got ourselves a nice trilogy. And that's basically a good summary, I think.
I don't have anything to add. That's scope three. I mean, it might be five books by the end of it. It'll be quite a long trilogy.
Got it. What inspired you to write the book?
So we play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. Jacob, I have been playing at Jacob's table. He's a dungeon master, and I've been playing at his table since I graduated high school. So what was that? 2008. The summer before I went off to college, because I was not allowed to play D&D when I was living at home. And so as soon as I was off to college, I was like, ha ha! So anyway, the most recent campaign that we started was right before the pandemic hit. And it had a couple of false starts. And then I was just really getting into the character and then her backstory, because in Dungeons and Dragons, there's this race called half-elf. I mean, there's half-elves in a lot of different things, but she's a half-elf and I got really interested. It's like, okay, how did her parents meet? And that question. Also, I'm a performing artist, and one of my favorite things to do when I'm learning a new role to perform is to really get into their headspace, really get into the background, why they do what they do, what was their situation at home, and how does that inform their decisions on stage. And so because of COVID, there was no performing, and I was really missing that side of character development. And so I just went crazy and did that with my D&D character instead. And then I was like, hey, I don't want to write this alone. Jacob, do you want to write this with me? So I don't know, Jacob, if you want to add anything.
Well, yeah. So my side is that as someone that's ran Dungeons and Dragons games since I was 12-ish, 11, 12, I've really enjoy creating these new settings and worlds and asking questions about them that would spawn interesting differences between them. And, you know, for so a lot of the writing side for me is what can we come up with that is weird and new and strange that's going to make people stop and just really enjoy that. So specifically, one thing that I like coming up with is monsters, and these I think these monsters that the Dutch East India Company is using are aberrant. They're strange creatures that have odd anatomies or strange powers, and for me that's a lot of the enjoyment from and why I agreed.
I love that. So this isn't a typical question, but could one of you explain, kind of define Dungeons and Dragons for listeners who might not know what that is?
Yeah, that I'll give that one to Jacob, actually.
Ooh, and yet you still spoke first, which is good. It's fine. Dungeons and Dragons is a pen and paper game that allows a group of people to come up with a storyline in a fantastical setting. Typically, it's modeled after sort of a Western medieval period, but with magic and monsters. So you're going to see the titular dragons are in there. And a lot of it has to do with going out and finding their lairs, the dungeons part. But it can be a lot more than that. And it has quite a large scope because you have settings where it's far future and there's spacecraft or even worse, apocalyptic versions where it's not even medieval technology yet. So really, the best way to describe it is that it's a collaborative storytelling game that lets you role play characters.
Thank you for that. When you were writing the book, who were you thinking of when it comes to who the book's for?
You know what's funny? Because this started out with the way the book started was just for me, kind of, just because I was like, I was missing character development. And since I've been an avid reader my whole life, that's really where it started. It has evolved from there. So, but like they always say, choose your ideal reader, right? So it would be like someone like me or Jacob, where we're in our mid-30s, but kind of grew up with all of this fantasy. We love Lord of the Rings. We love Dungeons and Dragons. We love, Harry Potter, Dark Tower series, all of these books that have so inspired us, and just kind of contributing in along that same vein. Oh, hold on. Make sure I answer the question. So who is it for? Probably adults, that love the fantasy, the high fantasy genre, that have been immersed in it for a while. I'd say know some of the patterns, they know some of the trends. And so it'll be fun for them to read not only just what we hope is a good story, because we work very hard to make sure that it's a good story. So they'll notice some of the tropes, but then also notice where we're subverting some of the tropes, which ones do we want to lean into, and that sort of thing. Where have we seen a trope and gone, actually, we're going to do this instead, take a hard turn. So that's what I would say. Who it's for. It's not a super short answer, but.
Yeah, just to go along with that, the idea of tropes and what comes to mind when I think tropes is the trope, our elves are different, because we are very conscious of the cliches and the typical manner in which certain things are portrayed, especially in this genre, because we read a lot. So we've seen a lot. So our in some ways, writing for people that would enjoy new and different things within the genre.
Love that. This is usually a two-part question. How long have you been writing? And then it goes into what made you really sit down and start to write the novel. So if you want to touch on both.
Yeah. So this is kind of a tricky question for me, because I actually did a lot of writing when I was little. I won an award for a poem when I was in like fourth or fifth grade. And I've always loved poetry, and I've always loved songwriting as well. In fact, like I have one of my old notebooks, because I used to I was a very angsty teenager, and I would write, I would walk around with a notebook, and which I would scribble my musings. And actually I'll look back at them like, hey, there's some poems in here that are actually pretty good. And that's why I've saved it. But so you could say that I've been writing that long, but then like, once I got into high school and went through my writing and English classes, I was like, I will never be a writer. This is too hard. I don't get it. I mean, I was a straight A student, but it didn't mean like it didn't, I didn't feel like I was good at it. I was like, I'll never be good at this. I had tried my hand at writing a short story or two and just felt like there were too many shoulds, too many rules, too many constraints on how I wanted to write. And so and I just dropped it. I went into performing arts. And then I, you know, was doing opera, which is very time intensive. And then I moved into a little bit of a career for as a life coach, and I was doing some writing there as well. You know, those, that social media content, it doesn't write itself. You have to write that. And that's where I started to find my voice again, actually, because, you know, for marketing as a life coach, they're like, they're connecting with you. They want to connect with you and how you personally are going to help them achieve their goals. I was like, okay, great. Like, I finally felt like I had permission to write the way I wanted to write, and all bets are off. And so I did that. And I think that precursor was what finally allowed me to feel like I could write a book the way that I wanted to. And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to take the time to go through and refine it and edit it and make sure that it's clear, and tells the story well, but still getting to lean into my voice and the way I wanted to write. And so I guess to answer the second part of the question, kind of, it actually ties in really well, is I decided to quit coaching. And during the pandemic, I also got off of Facebook, just completely deleted pretty much all of my social media apps and just let myself be bored and really dove into that character. And that's when and then my husband leaned over at one night when I was writing, and he's like, those look like chapters. And so, yeah, that's when I really started to sit down and write this book. And pretty much, you know, there, but even before Jacob was like officially on board, because I was writing within his D&D world, I was still like just pelting him with questions. Like, what if this happens? And what if this happens? And so we've been writing this together for a long time, even if he didn't quite know it.
I'm not sure I'm officially on board yet, but no. I started writing around 17, and it was the impetus was that I wanted to put down the strange ideas that I had and see what I could do with them. But it was off and on, and didn't really have the discipline until Kristen. So that was the reason that I sat down and actually do. Yeah, she's the slave driver, and
answer my question.
What have you written, and how is that going? First thing in the morning. No. That's not entirely true. It is a D&D campaign that this is partly based off of some other stuff that I have to, you know, come up with for that. So I guess the discipline part was just that I had to make some personal changes, and that's really what it was, that I didn't have the self-discipline because of my past, that dealings with depression and alcoholism. And once that sort of was, I was able to work through some of those issues, I was able to more easily sit down and actually write what I needed to.
What has your guys' schedule been like while you've been writing the book?
So we're both still working. Obviously, we've got our day jobs. and I call mine a day job because I am actually very fortunate. With my music background, I was able to move into private voice teaching. Recently I moved into more group classes, which means I am able to make enough money, within like 3 days. So my day job is really only takes 3 days out of my week, which I'm very grateful for. And, it took a while to get there. but that allows me, I think, three more days to really focus more on my writing. Like those other 3 days, they're book days. And then I think the other day is the D&D day. So, which is also kind of a book day. So it's, that's my schedule. I think Monday is a book day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I go to work, I teach. And then Friday, Saturday, we do book stuff. And then Sunday is D&D, which again, since these are prequels to the D&D trilogy, or sorry, to the D&D campaign, that they're very similar. And we actually have another trilogy slated to kind of cover the contents of the campaign that we're currently playing. So yeah, that's been my schedule. Jacob's is way harder.
it's shifted a few times as Kristen changed her work schedule. But we typically talk about the plot and story. Well, a lot of that, you know, we've already hammered out, but plot and storyline, you know, we had dedicated days of the week to. Right now, Mondays and Fridays, 5:30 to 9, we actually sit down and focus on either writing particular portions or, you know, talking about what we're doing, where, you know, what ramifications different things will have, and Saturday mornings as well. Actually, before this started, we were sitting down and chatting about particularly, say, difficult part that we've been struggling with and figuring out how to proceed from there. So, for me, it's less often than Kristen, just because I'm, you know, 40-hour week job, and also because I'm building up that discipline to actually sit down and do the work still. So,
love that. What do you need in your writing space to help you stay focused?
For me, it's more of like, it's more eliminating things. And I feel like everybody says this, but it's because it's true. I've got my phone here, but when I'm here in the office writing, I actually, cause I just finished reading Stephen King's book on writing. You unplug the phone, no distractions. The only reason I do have Facebook Messenger up, but that's because that's how Jacob and I communicate. Like, so if I need to shoot him a quick question, but if another notification comes up from somebody else that's not Jacob, I don't answer it. So I think the best, because flow, right? Writers, readers, that feeling of flow, there's nothing like it, right? And so the only way that you can really give yourself that space to enter into flow is to eliminate distractions. And so every now and then I'll turn on some music, but even then, sometimes depending on the section that I'm writing, because I'm so picky about my music, I'll even turn that off, because if the vibe of the piece that comes on is wrong, it'll disrupt me. And I'm like, wait, what? that sounds way too happy. I'm writing about like this terrible thing that's happened. So what do I need in the space? Is mostly just space and eliminating distractions. That's what I would say for me.
I need music, and it doesn't matter what it is, as long as I'm familiar with the particular piece. That way I'm not distracted by what's going on in it, and it just sort of blocks out external sound. I need the puppy to leave me alone. And the last thing is, the one that I struggle most with, is not letting myself stop and go, wait a second, does this work? Because it is that in that first draft process, it's just more important to write it out and then fix it later, rather than trying to fix it as you go or notate that. You know, one of the things early on that I would do is I'd start writing and then I would write a note, you know, in the margins about how much I dislike what I just wrote, or, you know, why I didn't like it, or, you know, that this needs to be fixed. But it's better to just continue on rather than stopping yourself.
Love that.
Which, you know, to add back onto that, I'm not super good at that. That's one of the reasons I pelt Jacob with so many questions, because I'll start writing something and then I'll ask myself, like, does this make sense? So it, in that regard, our first draft may be a bit more, I guess maybe a farther along than some people's first drafts, depending on their writing style, just because that little inner monologue there is kind of always going. We're very, I think, hard on ourselves, kind of because we read so much and we watch the Marvel movies and the shows and then Star Wars, and like we love these stories, and then we see some of these stories that aren't so good, and it feels like people didn't ask themselves those questions. So, and how frustrating it is when that happens. So that process, I am not as good at just letting myself write, which is funny to say because I am decent at that, but it probably still takes me longer than it quote unquote should in terms of a first draft, because I will stop myself and be like, wait, does this make sense? And then sometimes I'll go back and, figure out, and then it'll kind of like a splitting time stream, right? Then the scene will continue. And I think that might be because along my process, I realized at some point that sometimes scenes do have these branching points, right, where characters can react in a couple of different ways, and it would still make sense. But then I've written a couple of scenes where, they react this one way and it's a dead end. The scene just kind of grinds to a halt. And so I think part of, for me, is I'm catching that sooner and sooner. So for me personally, I've just learned to kind of listen to that, and then I'll be like, okay, we'll go back. And
love that. What is your favorite writing snack or drink?
Ooh, favorite writing snack or drink. I mean, this is not a plug, but I actually really enjoy, it's like a protein shake. It's called Shakeology. I love that because it keeps me full and for a couple of hours, and I can just focus and concentrate on my writing. And it's easy to just sip on while I'm writing. If I'm not hungry, I'll make myself some like lemon water with just lemon water with a little bit of sweetener. Other than that, I try not to snack while I'm eating or while I'm writing, mostly because it's distracting for me. And then also because I'm just trying to be conscious of like my eating habits.
Yeah. So water mostly. I think I only drink water now. And if it's more of a research or back and forth with Kristen about what's going on, then chips and salsa.
Oh, that's true. If we're doing dev, I'll snack a little bit during dev. That I don't mind. Sometimes I'm eating dinner when we're doing dev. But if I'm sitting down and writing prose, I don't.
I need both fingers. I need all 10 fingies on the keyboard.
Love that. What type of books do you enjoy reading?
I pretty much exclusively read fantasy. I read a little bit of sci-fi. If you count Star Wars as sci-fi, so I know some people don't, which is fine. I understand that whole debate. The other sci-fi that I've read that I adore is, Orson Scott Card. So Ender's Game and the Bean Saga as well. Still waiting for that last book. And, so other than that, fantasy, I love Lord of the Rings. I love the Dark Tower series. One of my favorite authors, probably my favorite author. Her name is Juliette Marillier. And she's a huge inspiration to me. She does like fantasy, historical fantasy set in ancient Ireland. And I eat that up. And I recently finished one of her, like her most recent book. I was just like, God, she just consistently knocks it out of the park for me. I love her characters. I love the realism. I love like the details. And those are all things that I try to make sure that I put back in our book.
I mentioned, so I read, sci-fi and fantasy. I think I have a even amount of both. I really enjoy some of the harder sci-fi, so I'll go back and I'll read Heinlein, and I'll read Larry Niven, and I need to read Neuromancer still. But and then on the fantasy side, it's a lot of the same ones. I mentioned Harry Potter, and tons of people love that. Yeah. That's almost without saying, but there's a Brent Weeks. He has a couple different series, and there's, oh gosh, I don't know how to, I've never heard his name said, Aria Salvatore.
Oh,
and yeah. He writes, you know, the Drift Stewarden stories, so, which are, you know, D&D based, Dragonlance, D&D based. So
Dragonlance lots of, was so good.
Yeah, it's funny, Kristen keeps looking off to the left, which is where my bookshelf is.
Oh, that's a bookcase over there. So I'm just
so
like.
It's just all of my books, and there's so many. But far outstripping all of those books are my D&D books. I feel that I've read more D&D books than I've read other books. That's probably not true, but it is a pretty substantial amount. There's something like, oh gosh, 100, 120 books from Dungeons & Dragons that I've read that they're rule books, so I don't think it counts, but still.
Something else that we both enjoy that we, you know, it's kind of hard to, I think, remember to include them sometimes is because I was looking over it and there's these Rurouni Kenshin manga books. And so we actually both really enjoy reading Japanese manga as well. Both enjoy Japanese anime. And I don't know if you can see those influences in our storytelling, maybe. I don't know. If they are there, it's kind of subconscious. But I definitely grew up reading and watching just a ton of Japanese stuff. I love that stuff as well. My favorite anime is Fullmetal Alchemist. So just good stuff, good storytelling there too.
Yeah, it's hard to write in the mismatch between what you hear and what you see as far as a character's mouth moving in some anime.
Love that. Are there any books or authors that inspired you to become a writer?
Oh gosh. I mean, for me, I've been reading for so long, and it was always something that I told myself I couldn't do. I just never would be able to do it. And still to this day, like I think about Juliette Marillier's the first book that she published. And I'm like, that was the first one she published. It's my favorite one. It's perfect. It's amazing. Like, what? How do you compete with that? I don't know if I have one. I don't think there. Oh, you know what? Maybe there is one. And it wasn't because of any of the books of hers, like the novels that she wrote or even the screenplays, but I worked through, this was actually as a performing artist, I was working through a book called The Artist's Way. And I think Julia Cameron. And I think that more than anything, well, not more than anything, I think that was one of the seeds that was planted because I picked up a practice there called morning pages, mostly for mental health. But she recommended it as a practice for writers just to get used to writing words out on pages. And I think to this day, A, it has helped me with my mental health a ton. B, I don't really struggle with writer's block. Like every now and then there will be like, I'll get stuck. And one of the things that's nice about having a co-author is like, I start asking him questions. If asking myself questions isn't helping or working, then I start asking him questions, his input always. And so, probably if there is an answer is Julia Cameron. And again, not because I read any of her books, except for The Artist's Way, which is, it's a self-paced course, which I highly recommend for anybody that is a writer or even an artist. Or even if you're just curious about exploring mental health from the perspective of someone who is trying to help artists get unstuck.
I would say, I was thinking, you know, as Kristen was speaking, I was trying to think of my own a little bit, but I didn't really think that there were, I would have said none until the end when I thought, well, obviously it's Kristen because when we first started doing this, I was like, well, this is terrible. I don't know why I'm involved in this. I should just quit because it's dragging you down. But, she, as I said, that had to work through a few issues, personal issues to actually sit down and want to do this and think that what I was doing was worthwhile. And if she wasn't there to push back on my misgivings, then I wouldn't have continued.
So amazing. What type of books did you grow up reading? Did you have a favorite?
Oh, yes. I mean, yes, 100%. I don't think I could give you a favorite book. I said this a little bit earlier in the introduction, but the types of books that, like, the very first books that I remember reading, well, the very first books that I remember liking reading, because I actually remember a time when I did not like to read. This was very early on, I think, in, like, kindergarten. And it wasn't until I got to chapter books that it finally took off for me. And so I started reading the Jewel Kingdom books. And I, like, loved, there was the Ruby Princess and the Emerald Princess and the Diamond Princess and the Sapphire Princess. And they were all obviously associated with their different jewels, but also different elements and environments. And I just thought it was fantasy, of course. I ate that up. I loved it so much. And then, like I said, I pretty quickly ported. I play a lot of video games, ported over to Star Wars. And so what I would have to say, my favorite books that I, like, grew up reading, depends on what's that span we're looking for, would be the Jedi Apprentice books, which feature Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon feature Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and their relationship as master and apprentice. That has influenced me so much as a person. It's insane. Probably, like, almost not legitimately, but, like, it's a little, like, you're like, that's why you do that? Like, yeah, I read it in a book when I was, like, 8 years old. So that's why I do that. The other one would probably be Juliette Marillier's first book. It's called Daughter of the Forest. Like, those are the two that immediately come to mind, is that series, the Jedi Apprentice books, and then Daughter of the Forest.
For me, a couple stand out early memories. One is called Glory Road. It's by Heinlein. And there's a scene in particular that stands out in the main characters fighting an unkillable creature. And he ends up shoving one of the guy's arms into his mouth and then continuing to push it in and roll the guy until he's about the size of a marble. He just keeps pushing appendages in and rolling him up. And I thought, well, this is amazing. So I kept reading. And the other one is Heroes Die by Matthew Stover. And it has a little bit of a blend of sci-fi in it, even though it's a more fantasy geared, because it's people from our world have discovered a way to travel through dimensions and they find one that has magic. So it's kind of like, well, nice. When they're over there, it's clearly magical and fantastical, but it's sci-fi because they have that technology. Sure, there's some influences. I mean, even the title itself, sort of a dour look, outlook on things. One of the players in the D&D campaign that I ran said that I have a very dark world. So I certainly ratchet the danger level up wherever I can. I think Kristen has asked me more than once, oh, so the book ends here because they're gonna die.
I think that was one of the first fights that we were trying to dev and figure out how does this work out, and he was like, well, the monster does this. And this was actually before we had decided to depart from D&D. So originally we were going to write it within the D&D universe and then pitch to Wizards and try to get the license. And then we decided, well, actually, we want to do our own thing. And there were so many, because Jacob loves, there's this thing called homebrew in D&D. And it's basically, it's whatever the DM wants to throw in the game and develop themselves. And Jacob does a ton of that, which has always inspired me. And so we were already making tweaks to the D&D system. It was like, well, why not just lean into that? And so, but back before that decision, we had like one of the D&D monsters, and he was like, he's the DM. So he was like, well, the monster does this. And I was like, well, then the party dies and the book's over. And this is chapter 3. So how are we going to fix this?
But, yeah. That'll be a short story.
On the opposite side of that, now as an adult, do you have a favorite series or author that if they come out with something new, you're definitely going to pick it up?
Well, Juliette Marillier. I'm still reading her. So I had a friend recommend her back to me back in high school, and I just kept following her because if she's a good writer. One author that I wish would write more fantasy, but pretty much just likes writing horror, is Stephen King, because I love the Dark Tower series, but I cannot do horror. And so if he ever releases anything Dark Tower, I'd immediately buy it. And because he did that back in 2012, he released a little novella that was like 4.5 or something like that. I was like, yes. And then I feel like there was one more, but now it's gone. It's Juliette Marillier, Stephen King, and then Timothy Zahn. I love his character in Star Wars. His name is Thrawn, and just head over heels. Fucking love that. Oh, sorry.
You're good.
Are we good? Okay.
Yeah, we're labeled explicit, so you're
great.
Good.
Fucking love this character, man. Like, he's one of the best Star Wars characters, just hands down, in my opinion. And this author is amazing. And so anytime there is a new, either Timothy Zahn book or Thrawn book, it's done. Like, it doesn't matter. We're having trouble paying bills. It's like, but there's a new Thrawn book coming out, so we're buying it.
So for me, Stephen King and Brent Weeks. Stephen King, I don't think I need to talk about, but Brent Weeks, fantasy novelist, does really good magic systems, pretty unique. And the first trilogy he had was released all at once, and the second one was I think he said it was supposed to be a trilogy, and it got up to 5 books, which is partly why I said what I said. But
there's precedent.
Yes. Very good world building as well.
Amazing. What would you tell someone just starting out with reading again?
Oh, as in like they haven't been reading for a while? Oh man. Well, you know, I went through a period of time when I was getting really into like my life coaching business, and I was reading a lot of entrepreneur books. And I was listening to a lot of entrepreneurs that said they don't have time to read anymore. They don't read for fun anymore. And I think my spirit died a little bit during that time. And I realized like, I can't do this. Like I need to be reading. And the period of life where I was telling myself that I couldn't because I wasn't responsible or whatever, was awful. It was just awful. And so if whatever the reason is, and you're just getting back into writing, it's like guard that time kind of with anything, especially if it's as important to your mental health as it is to mine. Just guard that time. Plan a time in my coach is huge on this. Just plan the time that you're reading and stick to it. Like, do not let anybody interrupt that. Like, somebody tries to call you. It's like, no, my phone is on silent. I'm like, no notifications, whatever that setting is on your phone now. Like, do not disturb. Like, this is my reading time, and you're not going to interrupt it because, like, this is so important to me. So that's what I would say. It's really intense.
I'd say sort of two things. One, I would, if you're struggling to start rereading again and you know you want to, is maybe pick up a book that you loved as a, you know, child or a teenager. Reread that. That'll, you know, you'll see the familiar patterns, and you'll get back into, you know, there'll be that anticipation to get to the next part that you really love. And so that can be helpful. It's funny, I didn't realize this until you asked the question, but because I read a lot of Dungeons and Dragons manuals, I enjoy reading informational things. So Stephen King has a book on writing, reading another one by someone called Maxwell Drake. And there's the puppy in the background. Sorry. I just blew through Stephen King's book. And similarly, when I pick up Drake's to read it, I'm just reading, just turning page after page when, you know, because I'm someone that's sort of getting back into reading. Because I, you know, I drank a lot for years, so I wasn't reading because I didn't have the focus. And I think that's been eye-opening, is that I like reading those types of books. So find something that you've read before, read it again that you know you're going to love, and then just try to remember or try to think of things that will actually interest you and pick those books up, even if it's something different.
On the opposite side of that, what would you tell someone just starting to write their own book?
Oh, so much. Do we have another hour? No. Just starting to write, let it be bad. I say this to my singing students all the time because I teach my specialty in voice is teaching people who think they can't sing. And so like literally that's what my class is called, for people who think they can't sing. And if you've gotten to the point where you're writing your own book, you at least have some belief that you can write, which is fantastic. But here's the thing. First of all, just write. Don't even kind of let writer's block be a thing. Literally write whatever thoughts are coming into your head, either on the paper, however you like to write, or typing it down, right? Just get something on the screen or the page. And just let it be bad. Let it be a hot mess, especially if it's your first one, because even with this being our first one, we have already gone through so many rewrites and revisions. And I still kind of consider this our first draft. Like, I know we're not done. We might be closer to being done than I realize because it's almost like I haven't given myself credit for how much revisions we've already done, which is important as well. Give yourself credit for what you're doing, right? No matter how good or bad you think it is, if your goal is to write 500 words and you get to 500 words, celebrate. Like, that's a good thing. The habit is more important than how good or bad those words are. Okay? I went really, really intense again, but just practice writing. Good or bad, just do your best to let it be neutral. And don't beat yourself up if you're reading this and you're like, oh my God, this is hot garbage.
It's funny you mentioned the revisions because we made a pretty world-changing decision about a month ago.
Yes.
Quite literally world-changing. The whole setting was uprooted.
Well, no, you're adding roots.
Okay. The number of roots was increased. It was uprooted. What I would say is don't beat yourself up about not writing yesterday. And just, you know, each day it is the current time. So just write.
So true, so true. What's one thing that people are generally surprised to find out about you?
I am an award-winning opera singer. When I was like gung-ho going for that career, I won the local Met competition 3 years in a row. I never got any farther than that. Like, I went to the finals in LA all 3 years, but I was so young and I was competing with the young artists there that were about to go on to the Met. And so it's like, there's no way I was going to win those. But people thought I was good and I was, but then I got into like issues. There were technical issues that started to accumulate that, kind of drove my singing into the ground and I wasn't enjoying it anymore. It was getting lots of pressure, on it, and realized I was always kind of a misfit in the opera world anyway, because for me, the storytelling was always the most important. And in opera, the voice and the technique has to be the most important, or you don't make it through the opera. You just can't finish it. It's kind of like the Olympics, right? If your technique there is not perfect, you're not finishing that routine or the race or whatever. You're just not finishing, in which case it doesn't matter. So there was a little bit of dissonance there, which is what ended up helping me pivot over to things that were more aligned with like what I really wanted, what kind of storyteller I really wanted to be.
I think I have to defer to Kristen. What's surprising to learn about me? Yeah, see, See what I mean?
So, well, I mean, actually, my sister had to give me that answer for me, the opera singing one, because normally I was like, well, everybody knows that I'm an opera singer, because I was not quiet about it. Opera singers are not quiet. What is surprising to learn about Jacob? I mean, I feel like he does magic with numbers. I don't know if that's really like surprising. I think that's surprising. Just the way he thinks in numbers, and that numbers make sense to him at all, because they don't make sense to me. He'll start talking percentages and he's doing math real quick in his head. And I'm just like, I count to 12. And even then, sometimes I'm subdividing so that I'm counting to 4 or 3 times and that's it. That's what I do. Yay, musicians. But that, I guess for me, yeah. And then just how good he is with, like he's been in banking for so long. And, I think probably of like for our whole, like if I'm reflecting on our relationship, what's surprising to me is like how bad he thinks he is at certain things, because I'm just like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm not good at communicating. I'm like, you run a D&D game. Like, that's literally not possible. You have to be good at communicating to run. You run a good D&D game with a good story. And like, oh, I mean, maybe this one. Jacob used to perform in an improv troupe.
Yes, that one. I selected that one. people will find that it's surprising to learn that I was in an improv group.
And he was good at that too, which is part of what makes him such a good DM.
Amazing. Is there anything you would like to say or add?
Oh, goodness. You know, you prepped us for this one. And I guess for anybody who might be listening that is thinking, might still be thinking that you could never do this, you could never be a writer. Maybe not. Maybe that's not your path. I don't know. But start to question or examine why you think you could never be a writer. Because for me, it came down to, well, I hated writing in high school, so I could never be a writer. I would never, it won't work out. Turns out high school sucks. And so does high school writing classes. So, well, in my opinion, maybe it's just my high school. I don't know. But like, just to start to examine those reasons, and also give yourself space to pivot, whatever it is in terms of your career, what you want to do as a, maybe as a storyteller or just anything in general. Like, just start to examine what you're telling yourself, why you're telling yourself that, and is it just to like keep yourself safe from not taking risks, not putting yourself out there, or what? Like, I don't know. Just examine that. And if you are considering maybe even just a little bit that you might like writing, just give it a shot. And maybe start like I did, just write for yourself. You don't have to write for anybody else. You can be a writer and just write for yourself, just write for yourself and your significant other, just write for yourself and your family, or maybe just yourself. You don't have to share it to anybody else. Okay? And just try it. And then if you decide you like it, you like this process, then keep exploring it. Then maybe explore writing for other people. See how it goes.
Yeah, if I would say, or I guess I'm going to say, I am saying that if you are doubtful of your own abilities and you're unsure, join a Facebook writing group and see what kind of stuff goes on those posts. And you're like, I can do this. I'm in there.
Yeah. Yep.
Love that. Where's the best place for readers to find your book? I know a lot of readers love signed copies. Is that an option and the best place to connect with both of you?
Yeah. So right now we, Jacob and I both joint run like our social media platforms. So one of the best places to connect with us actually is TikTok. So our handle there is World of Urda, and Urda is URDA. We're on all of the social media platforms. If you're interested in watching our D&D sessions, you can find us same handle on YouTube. In terms of reading the book right now, we're not published yet. We're releasing our first drafts, for free on our website, same handle, World of Orta. And you can read them for free. .com. Yeah. You can read the chapters for free. We really want, readers like feedback, kind of like, we were saying earlier, like we love this genre. We've been immersed for so long. And there are things that we want to explore, things that are super important to us, but also things like we want to know, like, what else do you want to see? Since this started as one book and has expanded to three, we realized that the first book now is a lot slimmer than two and three. And so that first book is going to need more expansion. So we'd love to hear input. Like, okay, you guys see this world setting now. You see the story that book one is going to encompass. What more do you want to see? What are you missing? What do you feel like is missing? But also just feedback. Like, hey, I don't care about this. Why is this still in the book? Or can you ditch this for the final for the final edit? Maybe don't put that in there. Or like, hey, this feels wrong, or this feels off, or what about this? You know, that kind of thing. Just all of the feedback. I'm totally here for it. And I love talking to people about books, about our book, pretty much about anything. I would love to nerd out with you guys. So please come hang out. We'd love to chat with you.
As far as a signed copy, since we don't have a physical book, that is not an option yet, but we do have our Patreon, of course, with the same handle. We are working on additional content beyond the chapters so that there's actually benefits, because we are releasing them for free on Patreon. It will be a week early, and we'll have additional engagement there, as well as, like I said, one thing that we're working on is releasing content from the Dungeons & Dragons game to Patreon so that you can download, you know, maps that I make or some background information that isn't going to be in the book, because who wants to read pages and pages of why the, you know, I don't know, the trees look the way they do.
Yeah. So like how Tolkien has his appendices or whatever in Lord of the Rings, that's kind of what we're going to give to our Patreon. And eventually we'll probably publish that, but that's very eventually. So for a while, yeah. The only place you'll be able to find that will be the Patreon. So
in the partnership contract, it's written that I'll have to be dead before that's published.
Well, thank you both for being here today and sharing and giving so much value with all the insight you gave. And we really appreciate you being here today. I'll be sure to drop the links in the show notes that you were talking about so that people can connect and find your chapters. And thank you again.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.